Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, some are still joining. I wait a couple of seconds, minutes.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Hi. Shall I share the agenda for today? Do we have a note taker for today's meeting?
That's the first action or the first agenda topic. Would anyone like to volunteer to be the note taker? We'll also need a note taker next meeting. So if you luck out and or if you don't luck out by being the note taker this meeting, you could luck out next time.
I'll take notes.
Thanks, Peter.
I see Steve is volunteering to do the next meeting. That's great. Thanks, Steve. Okay, let's dive into announcements. Paul, do you want to? Would you like to do this? Would you like me to do it?
Just start.
This should be relatively quick, though also if anyone has an additional announcement, this is a good time to make it. We will be having a tri-council meeting this week on August 28th. This will be during the product council's normal meeting time slot. You can find the Zoom link in these notes. The agenda for this meeting, we have some preparation for it later below, but we'll be focusing on what are the big topics facing each of the three councils this year. We will also be having both a tri-council meeting and a community council meeting on Friday, September 26th at WolfCon. We have rooms booked from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're going to do the tri-council meeting first. Because we'll have more people. And then after our lunch break, we'll convene for the community council meeting. If you have not yet added your availability to that document, please do. And Steve, I think we're missing your. Steve has just said in chat that he does not have access to the docs. Oh, and he did send a request this morning. So if we can find that, Steve, if you can also put in your Gmail address, I can make sure we do that when we turn over. We are almost done with the CC member contact information. So if you can add your email and Google account for community council members, that will be great. And as a reminder, there is a full community council list, which I believe is open not only to members of the community council, but anyone who would like to monitor community council traffic. Paul, how did I do?
Wonderful, like always.
Would you like to do the next item?
I just had one item to add under announcements. That is that there's group that spun out of Technical Council, the Dependency Licensing Criteria Subgroup. We met for the first time to go over goals. This is the challenge of third-party dependencies, code dependencies, and the impact of those licenses to provide some clear guidance and tools for technical counsel as they evaluate modules. We think this effort, we're aiming for this effort to take 8 weeks. And they asked for representatives from product council and community council, and I had volunteered for community council. So I will be reporting back as that effort proceeds.
Thanks, Peter.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Next item for today was the call for a folio manager because of Jesse is unfortunately leaving us, but such a fortune for him personally, I think. He has a new job and we are calling for, yeah, a new folio manager. I don't know the role. We wanted him to write down a description for the role so we could proceed the naming process for the replacement. We don't have it yet, but we come to it next time. I think will be a good time, and hopefully we will find someone.
It might be useful to, yeah, to explain this role a little bit. So the projects of the Open Library Foundation in their governance structure have three named roles, a manager, a secretary, and a treasurer. So this manager is one of the three named roles and is the primary contact between the project and the foundation.
Peter, that was
Thank
a really
you, Peter. Yeah.
And I think the meeting load is relatively light. It does involve signing things as a representative. I know there's been some, I don't think it's an absolute requirement, but it may be convenient if this person is based in the United States, that as people have looked at it in the past. And the folio officers, along with the secretary and the treasurer, have a meeting every, I believe it's every 2 weeks to every month, though sometimes it's canceled, and there's an active Slack channel. I think for following good process, I know this is still vacation period for many people. I believe Jesse is transitioning roles in mid-September, which would leave us time to do a call for volunteers and then some sort of selection process if we get more than one between now and if we have a 2 week just open period, which will give people time to get back from vacation or to think about it for a week and then indicate.
And also to add, he was offering help for the onboarding process also in after mid of September.
So Paul, should we say 2 weeks from today for candidates or by Friday of next week? Maybe it's better.
Yeah, that would be great. The 5th of September.
And then this is, I believe this is a community council role. So if we do end up with more than one candidate, then we'll have some sort of lightweight selection process involving CC. Thanks, Boaz.
Yes, great. Okay. If there are any questions, just reach out to us. Tom or me, and we will help out. Okay, shall we close this one? Get to the next. Tom, we want to do it together. We
Sure. Would you like to start or would you like me to start?
I can start now. Yeah, thank you all for all the shared reflections and the discussion. For me in this thing and Tom, we started to extract some abstracts of it and like to discuss what we distilled out of it. Maybe we start with a core problem and after it, the opportunities we may have out of the solution we discussed last time in the meeting. And we started also to tabs in the reflection document we proposed last time and you all was willing to fill and started one tab for core problems. And we had the first draft we discussed and we started to cluster it under some terms we think were most common. And you can also see it down in the document, our sorting process, so it's transparent. And then we have this second draft for the maybe a summary statement. And we like you to ask to read it out. And then we wanted to discuss if that is something we could agree on as community council. But Tom,
Yeah,
you're free to add.
that was a great summary. Clearly, there was, if you scroll, if you go to the core problems tab in the document, there was a lot of clustering of themes and input. And the what we've tried to do is come up with just the basics of what we thought were the unique and high leverage points. I will say there seems to be general agreement on most of the points. There is some variation in opinion about how much central control the Folio organization should have in determining how things get developed. It seemed to me that there was probably agreement that there should be more, but whether it was a lot more or just a little bit more, I think people who participated in the session last time seemed to have different opinions. The two, just to call this out, the two big themes seem to be around lack of a software marketplace and government and community governance and community contributions. I think the big problem with the software marketplace was there are a bunch of interrelated points. We don't have, as a community, don't have significant financial resourcing for central activities. We don't have an effective structure for soliciting and organizing in-kind contributions at scale, though it certainly happens in pockets. We don't therefore have a way to marshal resources to fund software development. Software development firms can't resource that unless they have predictable revenue. And currently, the only significant sustained resourcing for software development comes from hosting. Would people say, does that in terms of the marketplace, is there any disagreement or color that could or should be added? And I would say this is a great, Google Docs is great, so please feel free to comment in the document if you would like to or now live. Does anyone think this the software marketplace summary is an apt one and captures the essence of the issues that we're facing? when in this vein of concerns.
I think it does, but I'm not sure if this really fits there, but there's a little bit of concern given our, when we did our configurations and set up Folio for our uses, that the software, I don't know how to say this without the software is feeling a little bit less open source and more proprietary. That I'm not certain that a vendor can just pick up where like we left off things, and I'm not certain how to address that. And so the marketplace is also perhaps hindered by kind of not over specialization, but specialization by some vendors, and not everyone can just come in and pick up where that vendor left off. I don't know how to say that, but that this isn't something you can just hand off to anyone to go work on.
Thanks, Steve. That certainly came up as a recurring point, and maybe reflected at least in part down below under the governance and community contributions. But maybe could be said more explicitly in the top as well. Kristen?
Yeah, maybe kind of related to that. I think there were some assumptions with the marketplace where Folio hasn't met those assumptions to make it be successful. It's a niche product. There's only so many users of it, and it's very complicated. And that might be a little bit what Stephen was getting at too. So I don't know if it's exactly that it's less open source or that like the level of complexity in what we, the customers of Folio, the users of Folio, however you want to call us, want it to do, kind of creates this problem as well. You know, that it, in order for Folio to be successful for the use cases, it has to be very complex. But then the user community is kind of small, and then the complexity level is high, and there's that kind of challenge because not just anybody is interested in walking in and improving Folio, and of those who are interested, a number don't feel capable of being able to do that.
Thanks, Kristen. Kirsten?
I think when we are talking about software marketplace and all the challenges around that, it might be helpful to differentiate Folio as a full-blown library management system has some core functionalities, and it was always a question what belongs into that. And service providers who are setting up Folio need to have some sort of sustainability or security that the more or less core product is available in future. The marketplace is maybe a good idea for everything that we can define as add-ons, especially if we want to find a model that software companies can have their share out of that marketplace. So I think this differentiation between Folio as a library management system with a core functionality and additional functionality that can be organized through a marketplace model that can be, should be open source as well, but maybe has a different approach, is something we can think about, even if it's difficult to define what belongs into the core of Folio.
And Steve, thanks, Kirsten. Stephen.
Yep, I'll just second what she was just saying about the definition of what Folio is. I mean, we did some visioning as part of the DC summit, and we had a small working group that kind of shaped a mission and vision statement for the project, for the community specifically. But I agree with Kirsten in that I think that if we attempt to define it too broadly, we attempt to make it all encompassing for everything that everyone in the community would like to see in the project. I think that our governance model is ill-suited, and we don't have the resources to basically take on all of that. So, I remember, Tom, you probably remember at the DC Summit, I expressed the opinion that we should narrow the definition of what the core product is and make that something that is very tightly controlled by the governance process. And then things outside of that sphere of influence would be more loosely controlled by a set of governing principles and participation in the community, but much less rigid. And that way, the core product would remain stable and ensure that it's serving the needs of the community by making sure there's a rigorous governance process around it. And then the rest of it can be things that people can find alignment on with each other. By finding, like-minded or institutions with like needs, but it doesn't necessarily have to get embroiled in all of the rigor that the rest of the product would, or the core product would.
Thanks, Stephen. Okay, I think the second stanza or the set of statements captures perhaps some of these items. I think there's a strong agreement or concurrence that the Folio community currently doesn't contribute significant resourcing to software development as a central organization. And accordingly, there isn't great control or a strong voice in the governance of software development. I think there was one really nice phrase in there that the over-reliance on a single commercial firm is an existential risk to Folio, whether it's open source or could it survive a change in direction, was certainly echoed throughout. And for Folio to thrive as an open source community, it needs to be more resilient. And without more members, Folio can't, the central organization can't contribute to software development. But without a clear value proposition for membership, we're unlikely to get more members. So there was a chicken and egg phenomenon. Is this missing? Is there anything that people that is dissonant with this, or that people think would it would be better if there were additions? And Sean, that's I see you're making the our commercial firms part of the community. I think this was reflecting of the central community to the degree that EBSCO makes really significant investments. Those are many times at EBSCO's discretion and direction, rather than giving a lot of resources to the central community, which the central community then allocates. I agree that EBSCO is seems like they are part of, and in fact are part of the community.
So I guess I'll just jump in, if you don't mind. I think that it's probably correct to say that it is an existential risk to the project to have a such a strong reliance on a single commercial entity. However, I don't think that it has happened that way by some sort of machinations by commercial vendors trying to take over the project. I think a matter of necessity that they involve themselves heavily in the things where they see the most value for their business. And so, where I think we might have kind of gone off the track a little bit with the commercial partnership is that we, I think, ceded too much of the operational work to the firm that had the most resources to put towards that work. And so by virtue of the fact that they're doing the work, they exert the most influence over those sorts of processes like release management, quality testing, et cetera. And so I would contend that those are the things that we should probably be focusing our attention on when it comes to if we're looking to exert governance over the project more effectively. The community, specifically the Folio organization's resources, should go towards those activities as a way of putting a bit of a check on any one particular interest, whether it be a hosting provider or anyone else, exerting too much influence in the project by virtue of the fact that they're doing the work.
Thanks, Stephen. Steve.
I think Kirsten was before
Oh, yeah. Kirsten, your hand did pop up and then down.
It's okay if Steve goes ahead. But yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm reading this sentence. For the Folio community to contribute more, it needs a clear value proposition mechanisms for expanding membership. This is, of course, true, but as one of those members who are participating in development, it would be very helpful if we would explain very clearly and grow consciousness that Folio is not for free. And we are to really talking about money to support maintenance and development, and not just a value proposition. I think it was one of those things in the past that we had a lot of good ideas. But this consciousness, especially for new members, that this really costs money to make a code being built and maintained is one of the lacks we didn't discuss or we realized enough in the past. So I would love to see a sentence that makes this more clear, and that there is a support needed for those who are doing something for the community, even if they are small.
Thanks, Kirsten. Steve?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify quickly. And I think there's room, and I liked what Stephen was saying too, and others have been saying that, about the core, this core Folio, but there's some of us who have more expanded needs, that there's room for both having like a very, like a lot of heavy vendor involvement and supporting vendors' use of this and customizing. But a way to partition this is, I think, something it's good to keep exploring, looking at. I think of things like data tenants, for instance, that may be not used by everyone, but those who use them have very specialized needs, and that type of thing. But I think there's room for everyone. I didn't mean this to be like a commercial vendor has too much control necessarily. I think they're doing exactly what we've been asking and needing and trying to keep it open source, but there's just a practicality of the overhead in sharing that technology and sharing the techniques that really hinder a lot of extra involvement. And so it's going to be more specialized.
Thanks, Steve. So I think the comments, there seems to be some clustering in the live comments as well about more resourcing, especially for core elements, and balancing the commercial interests with those of the wider community. And so maybe that there's an opportunity to articulate those better. One thing that Paul and I discussed was that a next phrase, if there's general agreement on the problems, the core problems, that we might formulate a positive assertion of what a better future state might look like. And once we have that, we can begin to pursue specific solutions. So I think what we'd like to do is work on a draft of
Oof.
that for the next meeting and use that as a pivot to specific specific solutions or actions. I think someone may be saying something or wanting to say something. Okay. Paul, could you pivot to the solutions to explore quickly? I think this will be a similar exercise of clustering all the input at the bottom and then trying to distill those into some key solutions to explore that do correlate to the core problems that were discussed. There's probably more than six, but these tended to be the ones that most resonated or were said the most often or resonated most with the core problems. And briefly, that's a membership campaign, create a software development marketplace, create a formal process to help focus investments in software. So this was the presentation that Jeremy provided, or the DIPS and the DIP sticks and the 7-layer DIPS. Make it easier to technically to contribute Folio code, allocate central funding to key functions and roles, and continue the AWS cost discussions. I think one nice thing, so this is just what emerged. I think one nice thing about having a big community like Folio is we don't have to limit our attention to a single one or two. I could see making progress on these. And one of the things that we should do, I think Paul and I have discussed, is we should probably make sense to focus the September meetings, especially the face-to-face meeting at the Tri-Council and then the Community Council meeting after WolfCon, into moving these into definitive action. If one of these particularly resonates with your sensibilities, or you would like to work on it, or if you think one is missing, it would be great to add straight to this document. Okay. That is an overview of where we left. Paul, do you want to talk? Well, I guess we just touched on next steps. Do you want to talk a
Yeah, I
little
see a
more?
hand raise from Joe. Sorry to interrupt.
Usually the hand rises. I don't see it. I'm sorry if I missed it.
No worries.
There it is.
I just wanted to say I would like to contribute to the growing membership bit, but I'm on my phone, so I can't type into the document.
We will catch that. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Paul, would you like to talk about next steps?
Which next step do you mean at
Oh,
the
just
moment?
for
Sorry.
these doc, what we talked about, continuing this process, peaking at well, reaching a major milestone. I don't know if it'll be peaking at the WolfCon face-to-face meetings.
I'm not quite sure at the moment, sorry.
Well, I think that may be the plan for now.
Yeah. Think so too. But if someone else has something to add. Okay. Feel free to comment so we can have a look at it and take it forward for the next steps. Great. Thank you so much. So we go to the next agenda point. Stephen, I can hand over to you.
Sure.
I don't know who that is, though. Pam Pinnell. At the DC Summit, one of the action items that we had was to create a model for allowing, or should I say, encouraging contributions from people who were using Folio through a hosting provider, but were not a community member per se. They were not a member of the community by a paid membership. So we worked with Mike Grell at Inixdata and Christopher Spaulding at EBSCO to come up with what we believe is an acceptable model to start incorporating into hosting contracts for their customers. Now, a couple of things to note here. This is not a membership, right? We're not drafting members by contractually obligating them to contribute money to the project. They are able to opt out of these fees. However, this would be an opportunity for them to contribute to community efforts such as quality testing, bug fests, and whatnot. Things that everyone benefits from in the project fairly universally, without having to really involve them in any of the rest of the membership responsibilities, like participation in the councils and whatnot. So we came up with this model that seemed to be fairly inexpensive from our perspective. These are amounts that would likely not draw any negative attention from the institutions, especially if the hosting providers were to articulate the value that they were getting for these items, which both Mike and Christopher felt like they could do adequately for their customers. The sizing here was done based upon our, I don't know, consultation with EBSCO and Inixdata, along with our kind of our gut about what we would feel would be an appropriate fee to pay if we were in that institution's bucket. And the transparency aspect of this, I think, is very important. The vendors would report and transfer the fees at least annually, and then the contributing institutions who were paying these fees in their contracts could look at the list of contributing institutions on the website and verify that they're getting credit for their contribution in their contract. So there's no, legal accountability here. It's all based on transparency. And then so the proposed start for this was going to be starting this year when contract renewals would come up with customers. They would start proposing that these line item contributions are added to contract going forward. And so I think the only thing that really we're missing to kind of close the loop here is an affirmative statement from EBSCO and Inixdata that they are indeed going to implement this, or would be or amenable to implementing this, and their leadership has signed off on it.
Well, if you're talking to Mike, it doesn't get much more affirmative than that. Oh,
Understood.
he's got his hand raised. Very good.
Yeah, I'll just say that it's been a good process to hash through sort of what the parameters have been, the things that have been proposed. And I think I can Christopher and EBSCO, he's not here, or EBSCO's not on the call, but very consistent between, I think the people would agree, very consistent between what Inixdata felt and what EBSCO feels. So I think as long as it's an opt-out, and the community is setting these levels based on some criteria, we're simply passing through. It's sort of a, it's like a mechanical pass-through that we're happy to try to provide. And I think the team tried to identify an easy way for people to contribute. And so tacking it onto their annual SaaS bill, I think makes sense. But that's exactly how Inixdata would present this is a Folio community request. It's and you can opt out of it if you'd like to.
I believe that is it correct, Mike, that you suggested to maybe add those already to the invoices, like as a opt-in, and then an institution is opting out when they decide not to? Is that correct?
Yeah, so we would be including whatever level is appropriate in their invoice for the next year, and letting them know that they could opt out at that amount if they wanted to.
Alexis?
Would we be working on some so I'm thinking about how the benefits or the importance of this would be communicated to the libraries. It would be good to have, I mean, I think this is a good idea. I'm just thinking about having a consistent message for the, getting across to libraries how important this is, that they agree to pay it. Because I could see folks being like, what's this new thing? What do I, so I'm just wondering what we're thinking the messaging will be specifically.
Thoughts?
We have great language in one of the recent letters that we wrote about community contributions. So maybe we lift some sentences from there. Like I think just generally, we didn't want it to compete with a membership direction. So like yes, we need to, if it's the good thing about it being part of the invoices is that it's an opportunity for a dialogue. So like if a vendor is like talking about the community, that's great, and they can represent the community for their customers, and also like encourage people to get better. Like community council is not necessarily going to be at that front line, right? So like it's more about like the suppliers having a discussion about the importance of the community and supporting it. And in that way, like us having like like a way to engage in that way, that's a kind of door in, into like maybe higher level of an engagement. So I'm not sure if I'm answering the particular here. If there are ongoing customers that may question that, like that's again, like we're leaving it to the to Index Data and EBSCO to kind of manage that relations and like see, like kind of talk about all those good things, So I'm not sure if we can figure out the right language for each one of the particulars here. Don't know.
I just even if I mean obviously we can't force them to say anything in particular, but just to have some talking points would be
Right.
good. But yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
The other thing I think we should maybe consider is getting a sense of maybe reporting, getting some like annual, maybe this is something for the manager or somebody to do. But how many institutions have opted in versus, well, not opted in, but opted out, I guess, or are paying the fee? And for those who are not paying the fee, like get some sense of like why they're not. I mean, so I think Steve said somewhere like they're not allowed, like it's federal law prohibits it, right? So like that, okay, can't do anything about that. But if there are other reasons why, if it's like okay, they're not allowed, that's one thing. But if it's like okay, we still don't see the value, whatever it is, that would be good to record and figure out if we can rectify that somehow.
Mike?
So Peter put this in the chat, but mechanically, I think it would be a great idea, and we would want this to have a letter from the Folio community that we sh send to the institution, especially with that first line item inclusion. And that gives you guys a chance, or gives us a chance, to talk about all the pros and cons and benefits and so forth, and lay it out, make it clear it's not an index data thing or not an EBSCO thing. And yeah, so just wanted to promote that idea.
Person?
Yeah, so this is going to be sort of in addition to any membership. So if there's an institution that cannot manage a pass-through, is it sort of like you'd want to say, well, can you raise your donation by this amount then to cover these maintenance costs? I mean, is that kind of where we're going? So if your institution is currently contributing $30,000 as a member or $15,000 as a member, and it would be they don't want to do this line item of $2,000 because it creates procurement issues. Would it be then that, like, the organization says, okay, well, can you give us $32,000 next year?
My understanding, for what it's worth, is that this was not going out to member organizations. So if you're already giving $30,000 or $15,000, that you're not getting an add-on.
I think that's correct. That's what we'd agreed to. This is only for non-member institutions.
Okay.
Rachel.
In that case, could there be a situation that would make procurement easier for folks that would be, here is the price if you're a member, and it happens to be $2,000 less than if you're not a member, if that makes sense. It's not uncommon to have things that have, different prices for members than non-members. But I guess our federal colleagues would have to comment on whether that would still be a problem for them.
I just raised my hand. I think there's a thread to connect membership with the line item from vendor hosted with self-hosted institutions. And I would be curious to know how our German colleagues in particular think this might fit in with consortial hosting for the network services you provide.
As I see, Kissen is not there anymore, but I will discuss it with the other institutions in Germany.
Well, this is, I would have to say thank you to the small group that worked on this, because I think when we see this kind of alignment and knowing that we're likely to have hundreds more of adopters for Folio in the next year, the timing seems great. And it seems like there's some level of consensus on this, even if there's some finer details to work out.
Yeah. I think the most important aspect of this is the transparency. As long as everybody can see the flow of fees to the community and then the value that is demonstrated by the processes that the community supports, such as the governance activities, the quality testing, et cetera, I think that's a pretty clear value proposition for any institution that might have questions. So.
In terms of next step, thanks for that summary, Stephen. In terms of next step, you had mentioned some confirmation from Index Data and EBSCO. We've heard that from Mike on the call today. What would be, in your view, the best step forward in formalizing this? We're testing EBSCO, we're getting affirmation from EBSCO.
So I think that a letter from the community council to our hosting provider community members, Index Data and EBSCO, laying this out in a formal fashion and basically kind of, I don't know, call it a memorandum of understanding or just some sort of formalized acceptance of this proposal to kind of seal the deal would be appropriate.
That sounds good. I'm also hearing from today's discussion some open questions around procurement law, at least for Library of Congress and maybe other funded or other public entities. The positioning on this versus membership. We know it's not membership, but then how do we talk about membership and applicability to self-hosted or to network service providers, network service hosts? Is the working group would it be able to take a pass at refinement on those points? It does seem like this would be a really good thing to maybe if we could get finalized at WolfCon, that would be a tremendous step forward.
So I'm sure we can take a pass at it. I honestly would prefer, I don't know if I'd like to, I don't know if formalizing that aspect of it is a good idea. It might be best to let the hosting providers work that out with their customers. They may be able to have some, they may have some creative ways in which they can incorporate these without running afoul of any law. They may be able to make the contribution on behalf of the institution rather than the institution paying for it directly. Those are certain things that I think they may be able to explore with their customers if we don't try to box them in too much.
Thanks, boss. Mike, you have your hand up.
Thanks. Yeah, I just want to I just wanted to say from Index Data's perspective, we're going to treat this as a Folio initiative, and so we're not going to really apply any additional marketing or any juice behind the request. It's going to be Folio's asked us to do this, and we are dedicated to Folio's success, and so we are passing it through. But that's really what we're going to do.
Great. All right. This is wonderful progress. And I think we can line that between the Tri-Council meeting, the virtual one on Thursday of this week, and the next one, we can make sure that there's broad visibility into this, and the one next month at WolfCon, and hopefully get this ready to move forward completely. There are two main agenda items left, but there's also one new item or newish item that's been developing. Why don't which is Maccabee, I think there's something coming out of the technical council, and I'm wondering if we should slip that in first.
I'm, just given the time of the meeting, Tom, you might want to, it's not urgent in terms of the next month, and you might want to put it to a next meeting, but if you prefer, I can summarize it today.
Why don't you say one sentence on it, and then if you would like, we can allocate an appropriate amount of time at a future meeting.
Sure. Let me see how many commas and semicolons I can put in here.
Yeah,
With the technical council's officially supported technology process, we've been in the middle of approving the dependencies for the Umbrella Leaf release. And there were some potential dependencies where we were considering whether to upgrade them or not. And these dependencies are specifically managed by some of Knowledge Integration's development teams. And they indicated the inability to really explore whether they could upgrade those or not for technical reasons, but due to community sustainability reasons that the CC has been working on, and essentially said that they were not really open to having technical conversations about those things until the community sustainability issues were resolved. I just put a reference to the thread in Slack where people can read it for themselves. And I think I accidentally made that two sentences with a period in there somewhere.
thanks, Maccabee. Is this would it be helpful to bring this back to longer discussion at Community Council? I guess you might have an opinion and CC members might have an opinion. And if so, for how long and when?
At some point, this will be a difficulty. It is not necessarily a difficulty today, but at some point it will be. It is at the very least incentive for CC to continue and resolve the conversations that it's obviously been having, but it's probably worth discussing this for a few more minutes so that I can explain the details a little bit better. And it might be an example use case towards some of the problems that these community models are trying to solve.
Okay, great. It does seem to go along with the core market or the core problems and some of the opportunities around the marketplace, as I understand it.
I would just encourage people to read the thread in the meantime.
Great. We have just 2 minutes left. If people would like to, well, 2 minutes a piece for two more topics. If people would like to suggest any reporting items for the Tri-Council meeting this Thursday, please go ahead and pop that into Slack or the notes from today. I think we've the goal again is to represent what is happening at Tri-Council within the community council, and then also to hear what our colleagues in PC and TC are doing with the change in the councils with the elections, and to help set the agenda for the coming year. And then lastly, there is some of the logistics. We have an open call for items, so be thinking ahead of what we might do during the post Kansas City WolfCon meeting, or the Tri-Council and the CC meetings post Kansas City. And we heard a couple of things today that we seem like they're good to add to one agenda or the other. Are there any other topics or any closing comments? Awesome. Should we declare victory? All right, with 3 minutes to spare this time.
Victory.
Sounds good.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.